week three of the Bash's broadcast. We've left the bird's nest.
We're on the road.
Oh, we're nomads. We're on the top of the shed, mate. We're in the shed tonight. We're here with Matt Ryan and his crew. We're going to record from here. We've got a big show. Lots on the agenda.
Heaps.
I've got the loosest man of poo shed with me again.
Gorgeous.
I've got bird shit.
How you doing, mate?
And a whole bunch of riff-raff in the background. But anyway. Glad to get enough for the intro.
Yeah, it's enough. Fucking
smooth, man.
I think you fucking did it anyway.
Sound right.
Sir, Jeffrey speaking. How may I help you?
Hello. Yes, hello. Could we talk to Mr. Morrison in room 8, please?
I'm trying to be Sue now.
He might be booked under his alias Duckman.
Let me do this.
The person in this room is not available to take your call. Please leave a message.
Just retired.
It's probably a joint on the belt.
It's probably the first interview he's done in like about 15 years. And he's nervous.
Danny, with the Shanghai Bachelor, bro. Don't worry about it.
He's in a pub somewhere.
With all the women cricketers.
It is 10 o'clock. I bet he's on the piss somewhere.
Who's interested in a rabbit?
His mate is on the fucking taps.
D-Man's getting loose.
D-Man, come on, what is he doing?
Fucking assholes. What about this guy? Hey, you guys.
G'day, mate.
Hello.
Danny, is that Danny Morrison?
Yeah, mate, how are you?
Good, mate. We're ringing from Shanghai to conduct a small interview, mate. Could we take up a bit of your time now, maybe 10 minutes?
What about now?
Now, Danny, mate. Now is no problem, mate.
Mate, I'm on the corner of North Sydney at the Rag and Famish Hotel.
Okay, Danny, all right. We'll make it short and sweet, mate. We've got a section that we call steaming in from the members' end. We're going to ask you 6 questions, and each question is going to represent a delivery, mate. So we'll take it easy on you on the first delivery, mate. First one, short of a length, outside off stump, mate. Who was the funniest cricketer that you ever played with, man?
The funniest cricketer I ever played with?
Yeah.
What about against?
Yeah, or against.
Mate, what about Murph Hughes, mate, known as the fruit fly, because here's a little gem for you. Richard de Gruin played back in 93-4 in Australia, and he also toured South Africa in 94-5, and with a surname like de Gruin, Big Mervyn Hughes said, mate, his nickname's Snapper. And what the hell are you on? There's no Snapper. Because de Gruin sounds like a Grogan, and he says he's a snapping the Grogan. So maybe they got stuck into him and called him Snapper, snapping a Grogan.
I tell you what, Danny, I think we're gonna score that delivery. I think you just fucking edged that one for 4, mate. But, we'll move on to the next one. Search it. Next up, we got to bounce a bit of chin music for you here, mate. You were with the Kiwi side in Sri Lanka in 87, and again in Pakistan in 02 when some bombs went off.
Yeah.
What was the feeling like within the team then, and what's the difference between that and what happened in Pakistan recently?
Well, what happened is that we had a lot of senior pros who didn't really want to stay back in April 87, and Hadley and Chatfield and those sort of guys, and they probably wanted to go back and just fill commitments to county cricket and go. But
you were keen as mustard, though, weren't you, mate?
Oh, mate, they're mongrels. But, you know, 02 was different because 02, I was commentating with the incomparable Geoffrey Robert Thompson of Australia and Ian Bishop from the West Indies, and that was pretty hairy because we were staying across the road right outside where the bomb went off, and very, very tense. But Tomo got out his digital camera and took a took some footage of the hole in the ground, which was about, it was about sort of 4 feet deep. It was staggering. And we just sort of couldn't believe it. It was so surreal. It was like out of a CNN news clip, news item. It was just bizarre.
But it was like you were still watching, though, because you weren't the target, right?
Well, we were about to go to the second test first day, and it just was crazy, and we just didn't think, you know, what the hell's going on with this place. But everything seemed kosher then, but as we know, it's
okay,
all
okay. All right. Thanks, Danny. I think
that's a nice drive through the covers.
Yeah, right? But I think stopped on the boundary. We'll give you a two for that, Danny. All right. The third delivery. Personally, Danny, what for you? What was more memorable, your hat trick in '94, or your 106 run partnership with Astle, mate, on your final test?
What about the bloody test debut?
Oh, really? Oh, you played more than one.
I'll tell you what. Listen here, you mongrels. Test debut, December '87, and who was my first test wicket?
Oh, who was your first test wicket? I don't know. It was Bangladesh playing?
Hang on, mate. You're batting, not bowling.
Kenya playing?
We're playing the Blind Institute. Stop it. Mate, it was Alan Border. My first test
wicket.
AR Border. Absolutely. So for me, it was like, mate, this was stepping across from, you know, reality into fantasy land. It was just bizarre because here I was, you know, this 5 foot midget playing alongside Richard Hadley and living a dream. And there it was, playing at the Gabba in '87. And your first test wicket, my first test wicket was AR Border.
Nice one, Danny.
I've got to change the bowling plan here a bit, mate. Your fourth delivery, leg side half volley, mate. Piece of piss, this one, because you talked about your first test wicket. Your 100th test wicket was against who? Who was your 100th?
Oh, mate, he's living here in Queensland. He's a banana bender of a note.
And he's a good mate of ours, mate.
Hurls.
Hurls. Well, the question is, mate, because you got him, are you going to give him a chance for revenge and come up and play at our sixes here this year? Because Hills bowls when he comes up here.
Hills, isn't he?
Yeah, absolute fruit, mate. He's bowling fruit the whole time.
Bowler of the tournament a couple of years ago.
Carson, what time of the year is the Shanghai Sixes?
That'll be in September, mate. You can come up and play for the Bashers.
what date in September?
We'll let you know.
We'll loop back to you.
We'll get back to you. But anyway, I reckon that was a dot ball, Danny.
Yeah, dot ball.
You got squared up there, mate. Had a couple of swings at that one. All right, got another question.
Hang on, Danny. Hang on, mate. It's loose here. It's an in-swinging Yorker, Danny. 92 yeah. World Cup. It was a great time for you Kiwis. Some wonderful sights seeing Mark Greatbatch, you know, flicking those leg side rubbish for six. Chris Harris running Booney out from the boundary. Martin Crowe scoring some great centuries. But we hear, the panel agrees, Deepak Patel opening the bowling with some classic off spin was wonderful. Now, how did this come about, Danny? And how did you feel about it at the time?
Being the incumbent opening bowler.
I had the shits on because it meant that I had to sit on the sidelines. I had to share it with Chris Gaines because when you had Deepak open the bowling, it upset the balance of the quick bowlers. But look, not complaining really. It was
he's rubbish.
No, it was marvellous. It was brilliant because it was a great piece of strategy on New Zealand's slow, you know, the really cuck shit heaps, really. And it was a good ploy. It was Wally Lees, the coach, and Crowe, they discussed this, and they said, well, look, we've got to come up with something different. And normally opening batsmen, they don't face spinners. So Deepak was up for it, and it was just a stroke of genius from Wally Lees and Marty Crowe.
Yeah, well, he barely knew what he was doing, so the batsman didn't stand a chance, did he?
all right, Danny. We got one more delivery, Danny. One more delivery. Another easy one for you. Another half volley. Looking at your action, man. you know, you weren't the classic lanky tall bowler. How much extra effort do you think you had to put in to your game, mate?
Well, as you know, being somewhat vertically challenged, it was not an easy thing to do.
And the nose.
Downright stupid. As there's not Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart, what a legend. We call him Rod Stupid. And, I mean, really, I mean, it was a silly thing to do. And I had to leap. I had to leap loads and had a big delivery. And I was sort of looking at Richard Hadley and Dennis Lilly in 1977 to, you know, have a look at them and thought, shit, that's cool. I want to do that. And that's where it sort of all started for me. I saw that happening at Eden Park with Lilly and Hadley in confrontation. I thought, I'd quite like to have a go at that. And I started out as a wicketkeeper, funnily enough. Well, not funnily enough. Because instead of being circumcised, I had my legs cut off. And so it sort of fitted nicely, you know. And then when I got to high school, I grew about another 2 inches, and that was it. So it was
Danny, you put the last one over the fence, mate. Straight over the bowler's head. Well done, mate. Hey, Danny, thanks a lot, man. You've been a champ, and you just got your highest ever score tonight. So good stuff. You got 24,
love
brother.
Love it, mate.
Take it easy, mate.
See you, Danny.
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
All right, here we go. We've got an intro update because everyone's here now.
Okay, the intro update. We're on the third episode. Yeah. We've left the bird's nest. We're down on top of the shed with us.
Hi,
now.
This is Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem. Looking good again.
Casey
Kasem. He's dressed for the occasion today.
Well, I knew John was coming, so I wanted to put forth the best image the batters can
come up with. Lucy, of course, you've already heard him. He walked in halfway through. He's been on a recruiting tour around where? Thailand, Indonesia, Fiji.
Pattaya, Sukhumvit.
Looks like Gary Glitter's employing him, mate. Picking up a few new bashes.
It looks more like he was in Tijuana, in Mexicali.
Call me Pedro.
Okay, and special guest.
One more guest. Everyone up, standing, please. Oh, we're not with that.
Gravity Newton.
It is the FCC.
A long intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Shanghai Cricket Club, soon to be named council at some later date.
John Newton's here, everyone.
The Newton.
Thank you, guys.
Newton, I heard that you were a little bit worried coming in here. You thought there'd be some sort of sabotage mission. You hear?
Well, I've got past the stairwell, but sitting with you guys, I'm not still not feeling 100% safe.
You're the devil in disguise.
John plays for the Devils, everyone. But we let him on as special guest this week in his capacity as SCC president. And you had a bit of a shindig last week, mate. Tell us about that. Yeah. How'd that go for you?
Oh, well, it was whoever was there will know it was the first time we've tried something like that in terms of a moving the AGM to the beginning of the year instead of the end of the year, just to get everyone together. And I think it went down quite well, 90-odd people.
Lovely.
And it was good to have all the guys together a week before the game start and kick the season off.
Fantastic.
Hopefully the rain holds away until the weekend. But it was a good night, and I think most of the guys
20 degrees
it.
And sunshine on Sunday, mate.
There we go.
Have it on good authority.
Yes.
The internet. Mm. You can always trust what you read on the internet. So for those who weren't there, what's the big news? What's the big news with the SEC, mate? And just briefly, run us through it.
Briefly, there was a unanimous vote to change the second CM club to council, based on the fact that there's 16-odd teams now, the Bashers put on.
Yeah, legal mumbo-jumbo is the basic reason. Move on, next point.
No, that's about it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We've got big development plans going on at the SRFC that's pretty exciting. Once that's done by June, we'll have a concrete pitch in there, which will give us, obviously, the SRFC, Dulwich, Biss, and then by the end of the year, we should have three fields at the SRFC. So
fantastic.
a lot more cricket.
And one of the controversial issues was the reappointment of George Capitelli to still be allowed to umpire next year.
Oh!
Well, you know, it's a volunteer thing, the umpiring. And
God bless you, George, we love you.
You know, if you guys really don't want
Shanghai Cricket Club Legend Award. Then,
yeah.
Well done, George.
He didn't get the umpire's award. So
no, you're still a sure cheat, but all we want is consistency, George. Consistency. That's all we are.
Like the honorary Oscar, it goes to someone who can't win for regular merit.
I cannot say anything bad about the man. He's
a legend.
No, I work with him. So.
Lovely guy.
Mm.
Not because he hasn't got anything bad to say about him, he just can't.
Another exciting news is that we've got two new committee members.
Who are they?
One which you all know very well, Hannah Carter-Patel, is our PR.
Mrs.
Yeah.
Dipso.
Lovely. Yep. Mrs. PR and media manager, so
wow.
We're all looking forward to having a...
She get a card for that?
She'll get a card too.
Don't let her leave her gumboots lying around, otherwise people will be drinking out of
them. And people will start speaking, no doubt.
So Dick's not on the committee.
He's, he's got a gumboot.
Who's the other committee member?
Deepak Motayal doing events.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, but we're very much looking forward
events,
to...
What events do you see upcoming besides, obviously, just cricket?
Well, we've also got a couple of touring teams coming this year. The Centaurs will be here in a couple of weeks from Hong Kong. Hong Kong Cricket Club is coming in May, June.
They're useless.
Lama in September.
They're going to try and get it
the
back.
Breezer. They're coming to fetch it. So, basically, from feedback from the other clubs down in Hong Kong, they'd like us to... host them a bit better from past experiences. So we want to put a shindig on for them every Saturday evening when they come down. So Deepak will make sure that we've got a restaurant to
roasted,
you know, subsidize us. Yeah, roasted
always
pig
good
on the spit.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
Dancing girls, you know.
That sounds great. Maybe a little bit early, but do you have any idea of who could be turning up for the Sixers this year?
Apart from Danny,
of course.
And how
if he gets over his hangover,
will the SEC have in the Sixers this year?
Actually, a lot more than previously, I think. We've basically set out a mandate that anybody on the committee has to be directly involved, and we're going to also put together another subcommittee of Sixers people only.
Fantastic.
So we want to basically have a team of maybe 12 people. But in terms of people who are coming, you're talking about celebrities or touring teams?
Yeah, well, ex-cricketers. I know we're not going to get Paris Hilton or Lindsay Lohan. But
I'm trying.
One person who I can say without a doubt who is not coming this year is Chris Lewis.
He's not going.
The kilt-wearing monster.
Yeah, I think he's... has he got a trial yet?
The SEC's got a budget to
post-bail him.
And I'm
the
sure,
Chris
he'll,
Lewis
I'm sure he'll become an illegal immigrant, yeah, because they've been looking for him at Heathrow. But no, there's no confirmation as of yet.
Okay. Early doors.
And who do you think this year, I know that the credit crunch has taken its toll, man, and all the teams will be depleted a little bit this year. A bit early, but who do you think's looking good? Obviously the Devils, you're on them. You reckon they'll be strong this year?
You're the devil in the sky.
Well, we have a lot of new recruits, a lot of new faces, a lot of untried people. We'll see how they go. But naturally, as ever, we're hopeful. I would have to stick my neck out and say I don't think the Hot Dogs are favourites this year.
Oh, well done.
Now, do you see the league kind of inching towards parity and maybe respectability among this lower teams? Or is it going to be yet another year of Hot Dogs and Devils taking all the best talent, abusing it, and casting it away at the end of the season?
You seem to forget, I have to respond to this, that the league MVP of the year was actually a basher. So I don't know about this.
You guys are learning a bit of politics
this
as well.
This inequality and distribution that you're referring to.
Sympathy, bro.
But I think... Ollie, are you listening? This is your own teammate talking.
That's the token bash award. Give it to someone.
Will there be an award for podcast of the year the next, next year?
Oh, well, if I'm selecting, yes, yeah, there will be.
Well, it's, in relation to that, there's been a bit of a thing on the blog running recently for where will the Bashers League side finish in 09?
Currently, 30% of you, 37% of you think a comfortable second.
Yeah, and that's out of three votes.
Not bad. The most consistent team in Shanghai. That means they're coming fourth. That's coming in second place.
Then. Can I just
32%?
11% reckons you guys will come first.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what she said.
11%. How many votes? 19. Okay, well, there's still about another three bashes to vote, so, yeah.
Okay, so now the open mic to you. What will you yell out to all the cricketers this year? What do you expect, man?
We're going global here, John, so...
Oh, there we go. Lapthorn's on the right page. You want to join the committee? we've got... It's growing in numbers. We've got up to 16 teams. We've got every league's going to have five now. So there's guys from Hangzhou...
No, you just explain that in a bit more depth for anyone who wasn't. There's three different divisions this year, isn't there?
Yes, we're going to have. We've rebranded everything. The league is now called the Santa Fe Premiership. The previous social division, because it's no longer 2020 cricket, it's 25 over cricket, is now called the Santa Fe Championship.
Fantastic. Yeah, Woodstock's not too happy about that extra five.
Well, instead of batting for five balls, he can bat for two, and then he'll save his time anyway. And then there's going to be a development league where all the universities and school teams will play. So it's opening up. The league's going to be more interesting now with one away fixture and Hangzhou every season.
Yeah, plenty of road trips.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, road trips are plenty. Lovely.
Hop on the train. But
can I get in there, Johnny, and ask you a question? How's it working with Cranky? I mean... obviously, he's not here for a reason.
Mr. Mediocre last week, apparently.
As I'm working with him, not on a daily basis, but on a on a committee working basis.
On a committee level.
I mean, George, I can stand.
He's a bit anal with his emails, isn't he?
Cranky. Oh.
The email story I know has raised a lot of the club representatives in one way communications or one port of call, if you want to call it that. But that was, in his defence, an overall committee decision because we needed flooded with many requests. But Cranky, as you guys call him, he does bring a very different perspective to the table.
Oh, he's a lovely guy.
I had to bypass it to get to you to come here tonight.
Do bucking, your job, Cranky.
Bucking the system already.
But you did send it to my personal email address, so it wasn't filtered through the SEC email system. No, he brings a very different perspective. He can be quite argumentative.
Is he a good bass player? For the listeners, Cranky claimed he's a guitarist.
He's a bass player.
Yeah, but he's masquerading as.
But my question would be: Would you rather have Cranky or Omega?
Mal.
No, these two people are both my friends. This is like saying, would you rather kiss?
Holy sister.
Your wife or Angelina Jolie? It is a fair question. I can't wait.
Obviously, we can't answer that right now.
Obviously, we're running out of the material, but we'll wrap this section up, but we'll keep you here for the next section, which we call Around the Grounds, which is international around cricket. The well, it was supposed to be Around the Wicket, but we've all forgot about that. Let's call it Around the Grounds.
Stop!
South Africa.
Oh, we're going straight in.
Yes.
South Africa, I had a big rap on you guys in the first episode. I went to town and mouthed off. And
actually, I've got something here. We hooked into Hammer last week, but I've got some. We've got some, what do they call them, bouquets and brick bats? We've got a bouquet. Have a listen to this from the first episode. Maybe not that.
Dominating performance in Australia in the test, and then just pretty much taking out to the back shed and raked in your home ground, mate.
Talk happens in South Africa every day.
Oh, I know.
It's actually the national sport. You thought it was rugby.
Come on. What happened? Do you think that you guys lost a bit of form, or do you think Australia just lifted, overcome adversity, because they're playing a lot better than they did at home?
I must admit, I'm a little bit flummoxed by what's happened. But a lot of people are saying it's the beginning of the Ponting era, and a lot of Australians have been very critical of the Ponting, but he's taken a very, very young side and somehow turned guys with a bowling attack with what an accumulation of 25 tests between them, and they're taking 20 wickets.
Mm.
I think our openers have let us down. Obviously, Smith's injured and stuff, but there's been no starts. And to be honest, yeah, there was a dominating performance in Australia, but we were always saved. There was always two guys that put in a real underdog performance in both the first two tests, and they turned the games. And for us to have won the first two tests, we would have needed the same thing to have happened. We would have needed Domini to go and score 160 again, which you can't expect, you know, the same guy to...
Well, they weren't thrashings, were they?
No, both times it was the first innings, the bowling and the batting by South Africa that let us down. We were always coming from behind. So, yeah.
So the field was okay, is what you're saying.
No, the end of the fourth game, it could have went either way. That was borderline.
You look at both tests. Our second innings were better than our first innings, and especially the second test. There's no way you can win a test with 138 on the board.
And I think a big shout out should go to actually to Paul Turner, who predicted in the first episode.
Well, let's just have a listen to this.
To be quite honest, I have no doubt that Australia will win the current series in South Africa 2-1. Phil Hughes, the new opener, I reckon he will score hundreds back to back.
He should buy a lotto ticket.
The Oracle Shrek.
Yeah, I think Shrek's slightly off in that it might actually be 3-0, not 2-1, the way things are going. But honestly, Phil Hughes has been amazing. What is he? He's averaging, I think, 85 already. He's having like almost a Hussey-esque start to his career.
Yeah. But you don't win anything terrible. Well, actually... maybe next time you're back at the Boo, have a word with JC, because he hasn't spent the $100 billion yet. Mate, JC will shout you a napkin or something.
Okay, now that pushing on another bit more news around the ground, the Ladies World Cup is on at the moment. Has anyone heard any of the scores?
I know that Australia beat South Africa yesterday by 68 runs, I think it was.
I think the... Mate, I think the Kiwis are doing all right.
Are they?
Yeah, I think they beat Australia in the opening game.
Did they? Well, at least somebody's watching it.
We were going to ask Danny about this because he's there. He's with them, but unfortunately he couldn't stick around. He had a pressing engagement, I think.
Some sort. Tequila shot.
Some rough part of North Sydney.
North Sydney, yeah, it's pretty rough down there. So moving on to New Zealand.
New Zealand at the moment playing in India, getting hiding.
Getting smashed.
Really just being slowly cooked, Rogan Josh style, you might say. getting hiding at the moment.
Nothing new.
And the weather is not good too. It's putting a damper on everything.
I think that's why Danny's moved to the Sunshine Coast, mate, because you couldn't get a day's cricket in New Zealand.
Yeah, and there's better bars over there.
Okay.
Danny. Go home, mate.
We are.
Go back to the hotel.
Get back. We're worried about your safety, your welfare.
Go back to Jackie at the hotel.
We put a call through the concierge.
All right.
They've gone about.
England's still playing somewhere in the world, but move on.
Who cares?
Let's move on from that.
Hey, come on. It's the first, the first Test series win for the West Indies in how many years?
Since probably about 1991.
Windies playing?
Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about that.
The Windies has beat England. So,
okay, we can't talk about that.
At least somebody's won.
That's boring then.
Hey, I was on the internet all day today prepping myself for questions you guys haven't asked me.
Well, okay, fire it back at us. Well, what were the questions you were expecting?
God, I can't say that on live air. I let them review. You
Alright, should we move on to the drinks break?
Yeah.
Have you got anything?
Wuxi, Nanjing.
Let's go.
Let's go. Well, hang on. I've been doing scouting all week. I said Sukhumvit and Pattaya.
Speedo scouting.
Plaza. You know, I've been down there looking, checking out the grounds and checking out the turf. The pitches, the strips.
Yeah. We only need
I hear the strips.
It's got
the turf. I thought they were all shaved.
Shaved and closely cropped.
Figuratively speaking.
Well, what do you take me for? Come on.
Okay, we've got a new section this week. It's called
New section.
It's called Hamzy's Corner.
It's an honorary corner.
It's an honorary corner, and it's Matt Ryan from Just Bear, one of our great sponsors. He's going to check out some value bets this week. What have we got this week? We're now going into the lineage. The NRL starts up. We've got
the AFL NAB Cup starting final tomorrow night. Geelong versus Collingwood.
So tell me what the super tab bets are and tell us what odds you will get.
I've got no idea what the odds are, but stay away from Collingwood, they can't win.
They're useless.
And on Saturday, there's some good racing at Flemington. I'd say on the last race is a horse called Pinnacles, which was very unlucky not to win last week and get me my fucking potty. It cost me $1,000 by not winning last week on my $18 quaddy that I had, but it could win this week. And
this is very complex.
Might be about $8 or $10. Might be good value.
Also, Matt, we've got the tipping comp just started up, so... if anyone wants to email you and give them...
AFL NRL tipping comp starts NRL's tomorrow. AFL's in a week and a bit. Footytips.com, just search for Just Beer and you'll find our comps, the Just Beer AFL and Just Beer NRL comps.
Any passwords?
Footytips.com?
The password is VB.
That's easy to remember.
And there's lots of prizes.
How do you spell that?
Lots of prizes.
Okay. All right, that's good.
Most of them, what, give us an idea?
Beer, perhaps?
Yeah, beer and shit.
Beer and shit, lovely.
All right, good
new section.
What
about Just Beer? What's going on? Just Beer, got anything? What's going on? Any specials going on?
No
beer. That's all right. We're going to a section called the drinks break. With the latte drinking, parada wearing pufta, Dean Lapthorne.
What the hell?
He stole my Oasis tickets, Dean Lapthorne.
Hang on, I walk in here, I get off the plane for my scouting mission, and just verbal abuse.
Mate, that makeup you got duty free. I'll be getting that money back.
Because
you're flying doesn't mean you have to carry your passport in a man bag.
Come on, man. This is
bad. So tell us, drinks, mate, what's going on?
Well, what's coming up?
Well, listen, we should be there now. Well, obviously, Thursday nights, we should be there now at the booth.
Yeah.
We're cracking on. So let's wrap this up and get over there and get loose.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's the drinks, mate.
Basically, I said I've been on my scouting mission, and stay tuned to this spot.
There's a lot of work in progress, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, as I said the first podcast, it's all happening. and it's not a lot of gas. I've got flatulence. It's all happening. Stay tuned, and it's all...
Hi, this is Casey Kasem.
We want to thank our guest, John Newton, for showing up and telling us all about the SCC. Thank you very much, John.
And thanks for having me.
This is radio.
Playing for the Bashes.
Yeah.
No, not this year.
Well, that shirt you're wearing.
Yeah, I was going to say, unfortunately, this is radio because that shirt deserves to be on television.
It's a gorgeous shade of blue.
We'd also like to say that...
It's too late now, but if you actually tune into bashescc.org/CAM, short for camera... / then you can actually watch us.
How many slashes?
Right at this moment, but you're already in the past and this is the future.
Yes. Moving on.
We're in the past.
Moving on.
I feel like Woody all of a sudden.
Moving on. We've got a game this weekend. The team has been listed. It is on the Bashers Cricket site. That is www.bashercc.org. Right now, so far, it's Hammer, BS, Filthy, Maiden, Smasher, Lucy, Omega, Tank, Woody, Sir Dick, and Mr. Man showing up.
Who's Mr. Man?
Oh, he's a new basher, mate.
Ooh.
And we'll be talking to him sometime in the next couple of weeks about...
He's a Scottish basher.
And very much in relation to the drinks break.
He's going to cop it on Sunday, that's all I'm going
to
say.
So for all your Bashers news, of course, always go to bashercc.org/blog if you want the most up-to-date information. That's also where you can download the podcast. It's also available for download at the iTunes Music Store. Search Bashers Cricket.
Oh, fantastic.
Also, New York Times/Bashers.
Oh, yes. As I said, we've gone global. So.
The Economist/Bashers.
Okay, on the first podcast, I mentioned myself that my social highlight of the year was... The Brawl on the Bun, which I missed, and
amazing.
I told everyone that they should have got it. We've got Roscoe here.
Who?
Ross, the credit punch.
Hang on.
The
tie pan.
It's all right, Ben. Ross, I've got a question for you. I saw the video in the first round. You looked to be struggling. How were you feeling, mate?
Those first three punches hurt like hell, mate, to be honest. Yeah, wasn't tickling at that point.
I heard there was a bit of a comeback in the end, and, you know, were you a bit disappointed that it got called off in the end?
Absolutely. I was very, very disappointed that, the referee decided to call the fight, but...
But you're going again, aren't you? You're back in the
Not this next time around, mate. Maybe at the end of the year we'll have another go.
You're waiting for the big money.
In training, yeah, exactly.
Gosh, sorry, Taipan. When is it? I mean, there's the wheels are in motion for the next. It's not the Brawl on the Bund this time. Is there a tentative name? Or?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, it's going to be the Sheraton Showdown. on the 13th of June.
Lovely.
I think we probably should have about 8 fights for that event.
How many guys you got training now?
Currently there's about 22 people training, and we only need 16, so there's going to be cuts.
Well, you could always have a Royal Rumble or something.
Okay, so Roscoe, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 3 Bash's names, and you're going to tell me what round you would knock them out in.
Yes.
So I'm going to start off with Dean Lapthorn.
First round.
Jibber jabber.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah. The next one on Slab. Jeff Howe, mate. How do you reckon you go
against him? Jeff Howe wouldn't fight him.
And the last basher that I'll put to you would be Ollie. How do you reckon you go against him?
Statsy.
That's a very good one. That'd be interesting. I think with a bit of training, Ollie would have a good crack.
I would have just said first round.
You're talking about a man who got a piece of his ass cut out.
Well, thanks, Roscoe. We look forward to the showdown at the Sheraton or whatever it's called.
Absolutely.
The last section that we have, we wrap up every week with the limerick. This week, the limerick is it's about you, Matt. And I'm going to start it off with, there once was a basher called Matt, who carried a very big red sack. What had he in there? Lots of ice cold beer, and it doesn't get much fucking better than that.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Love you guys. I love it. Nah, mate. Get a mugshot. See you, dude.